Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. It's the 18th of July. Very nice to have you with us. We thank you for being with us on this Monday morning. Let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get to the stories for today. We welcome WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe. It was a great weekend. We saw the Pirates of Penzance. You had them on the roundtable. It was wonderful. Of course, there was a little malfunction in that. Remember when they were talking about the big post in the middle of the big mast in
yes.
the middle of the theater? It collapsed. So it was sort of like the Spider-Man, issue. But it was great.
They got No, the Spider-Man issue, people got really hurt.
Oh, nobody was hurt here.
Yeah, okay.
No, they were great. And it was great. It added to the drama. It was a wonderful performance. Wonderful performance.
Excellent. Yeah. Amazing cast.
And then we went to Tanglewood yesterday, saw an amazing pianist with a great revealing sense of style, and like that. It was wonderful. Because there's nothing like it. Nothing
All
like
right.
Tanglewood.
Okay. So, good morning.
Well, good morning.
Rosemary?
I'm less ebullient. Maybe that's a good reminder that there are good things in life. I spent the weekend watching television and horrible news out of Turkey, out of Baton Rouge, out of Cleveland. Terrible.
Yeah, it was. And then obviously that's what we have to discuss this morning and work our way through. Ray Graff, good morning.
Good
Thank
morning.
You very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Very
nice to be here.
To have you with us. So officials are expected to release a full report today on the shooting of six law enforcement officers in Baton Rouge on Sunday morning. Three officers were killed, as was the gunman, identified as Gavin Wong of Kansas City, Missouri, a Marine who served in Iraq. The attack occurred 10 days after the killing of five officers in Dallas. One law enforcement official said, "We've seen nothing like this." President Obama called for unity, saying that the attacks were an attack on all of us. We have a lot to go through this morning, as Rosemary mentioned. There has just been so many stories that have happened. So let us begin with Baton Rouge, and there's still a lot we don't know about Baton Rouge. Partially, of course, motive. We can assume that this was. Am I right on this? That it's still being. Believed, certainly not proven by any stretch of the imagination, but there was a 911 call that perhaps lured the police to this particular location where the shooter was, where three officers were killed and three others injured, one critically.
Most of yesterday, they didn't quite know how it all began, but that is a story that has been circulated lately.
The coverage, and I was with you, I watched pretty much all day yesterday, and I have to say that the coverage was all over the place.
Yeah.
There was at one point CNN was reporting up to eight people were killed. So, blessedly, that was not the case. But still, there's a lot that we don't know. And I was – just to let you all respond to this, but, it was just as we were getting ready to go on, I looked up, and CNN has a headline – that says Nation on the Edge after Baton Rouge shooting. Well, the Nation has been on the edge for the past 3 weeks, right?
I think this is a little worse when you have two attacks very close together against the police who represent the right of law in this country. I think that's a whole different matter. This feels worse than terrorism almost.
It doesn't feel right. And of course...
No.
And of course the going into the Republican convention and the concerns over the convention are certainly quite severe as
right.
well.
And there were efforts to try to get, I guess they asked the governor to repeal the Constitution. I don't know how he was supposed to do it. And, of course, he said he didn't. But to withdraw the right to – yeah, he can't. But to withdraw the right to carry arms, the police asked for that. They don't want that volatile mix of Trump and divisive politics and weaponry.
Open carry in the state
certainly understand
of
it.
Connecticut. Or, I'm sorry, in Ohio.
In Ohio.
Cincinnati, yes.
Yes, one.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, one.
Cleveland, not Cincinnati.
It's terrible.
Cleveland. My apologies.
It's just terrible.
Yeah.
We've all been asking ourselves, you know, can these terrible things that we have seen in these other countries, in France and other places, can they happen here? Well, they are happening here. I mean, I think that's exactly the point. And it will get worse because they will have people who will have altered their own mindset to say it is, I'm acting in an appropriate fashion. I have no guilt about this. I will take a gun or a truck or something else into a crowded place and I will do what I can. You know, I have always felt that if you, you know, now people will criticize me for this, but if you're really acting out of respect for your children and your family and everything else, you probably ought to stay out of crowded places right now. Now, of course, that means that they win because they have, that's the definition of spreading terror. Nevertheless, I can tell you that it would take a team of wild horses to get me into, and by the way, it always has, into Times Square on New Year's Eve.
And yet you went to two events this weekend.
I did.
So yeah, not that concerned.
Well, let me put it this way. One is a little theater, and the other, of course, is Tanglewood. And, of course, we talked to Mark Volpe, Joe and I, about that very issue. He said they had dogs, they had things, but if somebody wants to do it, they can do it. I suppose, Ray, you make a very good point. It's where you draw your lines.
People in Nice thought they were safe. They thought the danger in France would be at the soccer game, the big football championship. And that passed. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief.
People who were in a small nightclub in Orlando certainly didn't expect anything.
There you go. So that's understandable advice, but hard to implement and life-changing.
I wouldn't have gone.
Not the answer.
I wouldn't have gone to that either.
Wouldn't have gone to what?
Small nightclub.
Or the small nightclub.
No. Mm-hmm.
I would have.
You would have?
Yeah, I could have been killed in any of those places. We all could have been killed in any of those places. Fireworks with your kids. Have you done that?
What's that?
The event in Nice that drew the terrorist ire. And they're not even terrorists connected to a group. They're just weird, sad, horrible, heavily armed men.
Well, and by the way, Rosemary, that is a very big question in all of this.
Right.
Because at least in one case, the guy tried to push it off on ISIS. Mm-hmm. And we don't really know if these are just deranged people.
In which case, now we're talking about the Nice. Yeah.
But even in Baton Rouge, they're connecting. The stories this morning are that this man also may have been radicalized, whatever that term has come to mean.
Mm. Yeah.
Come to be enamored of the death associated with extreme Islamism.
What were you going to say, Ray?
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
I thought you were going to say something.
No. I'll say something when I want to say something.
No, you started a sentence.
No.
So I said...
No, he was asking for a clarification on what you were asking.
Well,
about.
I just meant you
had asked that they were trying to pin this on ISIS, and I was trying to figure out which one you were talking about.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. I thought it made it clear that some were trying to push the ISIS connection, even if there may not have been. So this gets very difficult.
When you look at, of course, what's being brought up now is the case of the Democratic National Convention, the Republican Convention this week, the Democratic Convention next week, and then the Olympics, and you think to yourself, well, are any of these a good idea, you know, mm-hmm. and what you do, and how do you make things safe for people, especially when you know there's going to be protests at both conventions. And
if you're a cop in one of those cities,
exactly,
what are you thinking right now? What the heck are you doing?
One of the officers who was killed yesterday, his family was interviewed, and they said that it was paramount on his mind since what happened.
He wrote about it
in Dallas, right?
I don't know. Last week, a couple weeks ago, I was thinking that the worst thing had happened, that bad cops were running amok and there was no punishment for them in our country, and now we have good cops getting shot for no reason at all. Horrible.
Yes.
Great response. You have nothing,
anything else?
I think that's right. This is a terrible situation. A person with a weapon can get in just about anywhere, or a bomb. And we have to do everything we can. So if Mark Volpe starts talking about protecting all the people at Tanglewood, God bless him. I think that's terrific. And he knows, but he knows that there's just so much that you can do.
Now, you, Alan, and maybe you, Rosemary, are old enough to remember the 68, the summer of 68 and the conventions.
Sure.
Was there a similar level of tension and underlying tension across the country leading up to those conventions?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, Chicago was really something. I was in 4 years later, I was in Miami with ABC. And you were sitting in the convention hall and you were smelling tear gas.
Yeah.
So I think there's a good chance something like that will happen.
And you know, also the same tension between the strict law and order forces and, you know, the hippies. I was in the hippie group. But, you know,
you
Daley's Chicago was where this all happened.
Yeah.
He was a very much like a Trump type who was like, my police are going to control this. We're going to take care of this. And what you had was, of course, an iconic clash and not a happy day for the democracy that was America.
No. And those of us who are still with us, we remember it pretty well. That Chicago has come to have a meaning all by itself.
Yeah. And I hope that it is not surpassed or even equal to coming up tonight.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, beginning at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Support comes from Kimlin Propane, installing and providing propane services for homes and businesses throughout Ulster, Orange, and Sullivan counties. KimlinPropane.com. Spicer Art Conservation, art conservation of textiles, objects, paper, and upholstery, serving private owners and institutions since 1995, treating heirlooms and antiquities, spicerart.com. Amtrak, announcing Amtrak's summer See New York packages available between any two Amtrak stations in New York State and Montreal, amtrak.com/deals for details. And from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy. Eye exams by appointment, EYEDENTITY, eyewearalbany.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Monday morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ray Graff join us this morning, and we welcome your thoughts as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have been talking, of course, about what happened in Baton Rouge yesterday, and there are, of course, this comes, and we didn't mention this, but this comes in after protests in Baton Rouge and across the country and the assaults on Dallas police. And this, of course, and I want to go one step further to what Rosemary said, if for any police officer in this country, of how you're feeling about going on the job this morning and what we do about that fear, especially in the light of copycat and copycat incidents, and just not knowing what you know, the mood of any individual is, and quite frankly, how easy it is to lure many police officers to one place, and how you solve that problem, and by the way, and solve it pretty damn quickly.
Well, you mean you got there? They got there. They got shot. Terrible. But they also took the guy out. And is that what you mean by solved it quickly?
No. I mean
not going there in the first place.
Yeah. Right. I mean, getting officers having a mood in the country where we have seen two of these incidents. We have a growing chasm between the police and the policed. And how you work that in a civil society and allow people to do their jobs, the police, and allow the citizenry to remain safe.
You know, it's interesting that you say that we have a chasm between the police and the policed. I think this election may well be a referendum on that. I mean, I think Trump's numbers go up every time you have a police shooting. And he gets on the air and says, police, 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 because I think most people in this country know that police serve to protect them. I happen to think there's a different kind of backdrop here, one of which is that it is a growing focus by the Trump campaign to say that the police will protect us from whom? From the population that have been getting killed in police stops, and the statistics are extraordinary about that. The Washington Post did a big story on it about how many black people get killed compared to white people in these confrontations. So I think that there is a sense on the part, there's a fight for those people who are being policed, who are just adamant about protecting police people in this country, and it may really turn out to be the defining difference in this election. Well, you make your face.
I don't think it's going to make a difference. I think the law and order is code for the same black-white divide that he's played all along. And the black people, the minorities, most of the Latinos, blacks, Muslims, Asians, all the other people who make up the United States who are not Caucasian are not fooled by this and would not vote for him in large numbers.
Well,
and
many
white people also. Liberal whites are not going to fall for it either. I think he has offered no great idea for stopping this. What would he do if he were president that would stop police from getting shot at?
It doesn't really matter what he would do. The only thing that matters is who's going to vote for him and what their reasons for voting for him is. And I would point out to you, Rosemary, as you know very well, that the polls right now are even, Stephen.
Hillary's slightly ahead, by the way.
She's five points ahead
as of yesterday. The polls that came out this weekend.
The pre-convention polls in both individual polls as well as the when they put them all together.
Yeah, the amalgamated.
Thank you.
Funny because I was looking at CNN yesterday and they had a visual up there and it just showed a dead heat.
You might have been looking at the swing states.
You never, Alan, see polls in which Hillary is ahead. I've noticed that. But she is slightly ahead. It's not a big lead, but she is. Mm-hmm. And that will change radically this week and then the next when the convention.
Are you implying that I'm anti-Hillary? Is that what
No, I'm implying you have a weird idea about polls.
Well, I'm always amazed by it. I know what I saw. And no matter how many people beat up on me, I know what I saw on the television yesterday. And so Therefore, it is even, Stephen. And even if it's 3 points or 2 points, it's very close.
Yeah.
The second point I would make.
Well, we got to go to a break, and then we'll come back and finish this up. We'll be right back, Alan, Rosemary, and Ray, after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. This morning, we welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. The response from Donald Trump on Twitter yesterday regarding the tragedy in Baton Rouge. We are trying, all caps, trying to fight ISIS, and now our own people are killing our police. Our country is divided and out of control. The world is watching, which is certainly the case the Democrats have been making for a very long time, that it is Donald Trump who is dividing the country, and also that the world is watching.
Mm-hmm. What do you want us to add to that?
Yeah, well, to use those for your own benefit seems odd to me, but.
Well, I mean, we said for weeks now that any kind of act of terrorism or horror would help Donald Trump. So we're waiting for the political impact of these things as well as the human impact, too.
Let's talk about the. I guess all of us, given the tragedies that have been happening, can use a little levity. The announcement of Mike Pence as vice president was pretty amusing. I think by all counts, it was pretty amusing. So he chooses him. apparently by many published reports and broadcast reports, had second thoughts at the last minute
after
he had asked them. He canceled the event because of what happened in Nice, although there was some question.
Allegedly.
And then still hadn't told any of the three frontrunners, Mike Pence, Chris Christie, or Newt Gingrich, that they or did not have the job. They were all waiting. So then Pence only finds out by the tweet that Trump sends out at the exact moment he's supposed to be having the press conference, which he canceled, much to the chagrin of his staff who didn't know that. Then comes the hastily put together logo.
That's my favorite part of the story.
I mean, what were they thinking?
Explain to everybody what that hastily put together logo was.
So you have the P for Pence, and then you have the T going in into the P. As one representative, I believe from the state of Florida, said, it's emblematic of what Mr. Trump could do to the country.
And it was offensive and stupid on multiple levels. TP, for example.
Right.
What's that mean to you?
Yes.
Toilet paper.
Oh. It just
how offensive. Whoa.
Well, it's not. You want to vote for toilet paper for your national ticket?
I don't know. We vote for a lot of things that get wiped up by toilet paper.
That was cute. But that's the sort of debate that you had over the logo. Not like, wow, what a powerful team we have here. Logo. Whoever did the marketing on that.
Oof. Okay. But the point I'm trying to make, and was when we went to the break, is that we are watching a candidate who has relied on a group of Americans who don't care what he says, don't care what his English is like, don't care if he screws up on the vice presidential announcement. They are just angry, and they want to make a point. And that is why, even though Rosemary will correct me once more, it is such a very tight race.
But is this microscope, this media 24/7 news cycle, just a little too finely tuned that we care about the nuances of a vice presidential pick? If we go back in history, I'm sure a lot of the vice presidential picks, Kennedy's, many others, are messy and disgusting and convoluted, but yet the media wasn't there to report on every little bit of it.
Well, they are now.
It might all have gone away had the first interview with the two men together, Trump and Pence, gone well, but it did not. 60 Minutes, Stahl interviewed them.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let's back up to the introduction and to the press conference for the candidate itself.
They were very similar, weren't they?
That.
Let me tell you about Mike Pence, and
so
then that was the last
Trump
we heard.
Trump comes out, 25 minutes he speaks, and then he announces Mike Pence, and he leaves the stage.
I know.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And he makes it known, as people make it known, that he really wasn't the guy he really wanted. I married the wrong girl.
Well, right, and at what point?
Who did he want?
We don't know.
Well, he said that according to the family, apparently within the campaign, family members wanted Chris Christie, and
except for the son-in-law who did not want
and
Chris
he
Christie.
Did not want Chris Christie, and Manafort, I guess, was a big Pence guy. So anyway, my question is this. And I say this as an honest to God truthful question, but do you think Pence lasts the entire cycle?
I do.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Why would you think
they're going to go musky on him?
Because when I was watching that interview last night in 60 Minutes,
he looked so uncomfortable.
It just seemed like he was going to get up and leave at some point.
No, I think he will last. I think that was unrehearsed. Those guys should have practiced before they go up against Leslie Stahl. They underestimated the power of, you know, a real good journalist. And so she asked questions that they should have anticipated. Pence voted for the Iraq War, which is, as Leslie Stahl said, you've harped on that, Mr. Trump. How do you justify this? They had no decent answer for it.
Yeah, and the best part was, you tell everybody that they can't vote for Hillary because she voted wrong.
Her judgment is impaired.
But
how about
Pence
your guy?
Voted the other way. Oh, well, that's all right.
I don't care.
Everybody makes mistakes.
I don't care. Yeah.
He goes, I don't care. That was a long time ago. Oh, God. Hillary Clinton
He was
must
misled.
Have been, Yeah, I mean, like, that was a question they should have anticipated, and they didn't have it right. Same with the ban on Muslims. And Leslie Stahl is trying to get Pence to defend it, something he does not really believe in personally. How are you going to adapt to this now? A good question. It's like asking George H.W. Bush about abortion when he signs on to be the vice presidential candidate. And instead, he starts defending it. Pence starts to be the good soldier. And then is reminded by Mr. Trump that he had modified the position himself. He didn't have to defend him. That should have been practiced. So I didn't think it was evil. I didn't think it was a sign that's going to kill them. But it was just a poor performance, a really poor performance.
It just seemed to me like Trump doesn't want to share the stage with anyone. And I'm wondering, and especially since we know that he wasn't the guy that he wanted, if at some point we
hear that. We don't know that. To be clear.
And what would Pence do instead? He was not doing well in the race for governor, for re-election back in Indiana, and in fact cannot get back into it now. He's withdrawn from that race.
Right.
So if he pulls out now,
I don't even know if he'll pull out. I'm just thinking that, okay, so even if he doesn't pull out, will Trump just distance himself completely? You go on this part of the country, I'll go on this part of the country, and we'll meet up on election
night. But that
doesn't
help them. That doesn't help them at all.
Well, it might double their efforts. I think Manafort is going to manage this, that he's going to make them stick it out together. And Trump doesn't have to love his vice president. We've had plenty of presidents who didn't even know or like their president. He'll appoint a cabinet. I'm making the sign of the cross as I say this. He become president. And in that cabinet will be Newt Gingrich as Secretary of State, God help us all, and Christie as Attorney General. He'll have his guys in place. He doesn't need to have a vice president that he's totally in lockstep with.
So your assumption, despite some of the past argumentativeness with me about his chances of getting elected, are that he might get elected, right? I mean, in what you just said.
I have never argued that Hillary should just say, you know, get ready to coast this. I think she has to work very hard to beat him.
And my point is, I think those people who are for him under any circumstances. They're angry.
Yes.
They don't like gay rights. They don't like abortion. They don't like the rest of the stuff. And they don't like PC, and they are ready.
And they don't like the media. So that's why this interview on 60 Minutes means absolutely zilcho to those who are following and supporting him. They're just saying, oh, there's another example of the media ganging up on a quote-unquote conservative candidate.
Yeah, if Katie Couric could be projected as going after Sarah Palin, then the same with Leslie Stahl, because she really did. She took nothing from them. She gave it back all the time. So she will be projected as, just another.
The reason it was important, Ray, I would argue with you.
Woman.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
That's
step
okay,
on
no.
you.
That's okay, no.
The reason I would argue with you, Ray, is
because
that I
you
think
enjoy
what
it.
Mm-hmm. I think what that does is to fire up the troops. So in other words, the pro-Hillary people will be so aghast at that you get people, self-admitted mistake, like Justice Ginsburg, right? Who says what?
Say it was a mistake. She said I shouldn't have said it.
Well, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's like a prosecutor.
We call that an apology.
No.
Yes.
She's a lawyer. What she did was make a statement she wanted the jury to hear. She goes, yeah, I withdraw that statement. But we all heard it. I don't think she regrets it at all.
Well, that's the point I was trying to make, which is, she was so upset by this candidacy, the Trump candidacy, she decided to break with the tradition of keeping shut. And she went ahead and did it. And I think when you see something like you saw on 60 Minutes last night, you say, I can go a little bit further, too, as the judge did. That's all I'm saying.
Huh. Yeah, the Washington Post has written about this, the dementia caused by the thought of Trump as a leader. And
well,
people are saying and doing things that they ought not to.
Well, it's happened on this show for a long period of time, because in the beginning, when they were the 12, 28, 37 17. Republicans were running, it was all
17,
it was all hilarious on this program. But now, like it or not, members of this panel, whoever walks in that door, will have to at least offer the appearance of respect for the candidate.
What did you think of the Time magazine cover speaking of
respect? I'm respectful of that candidate.
You have to be.
I'm not.
Hello, hello. What did you think of the Time magazine cover that shows the back of Trump's head sitting in a chair that's labeled President of the United States and blurry in the front of it is George Washington's portrait? Is that a sign of respect?
Very clever.
I'm not seeing the imagery here.
No, I don't.
I didn't see it.
Fabulous.
I have not seen
it. I'm making my students look at it and write about it. He's sitting in a chair. In the back of the chair is a plate that says President of the United States. So you see his hair, which is, of course, iconic, orange hair. And then in front of him, also in the picture, is a portrait of George Washington.
The portrait, I assume.
The portrait. So you're assuming, you know, what you're looking at is from George Washington to Donald Trump in the White House. That's the imagery.
I see. And what's
I don't think that's a sign of respect. I think that's like, think about this, a warning.
Right. But how many warnings have we had? I mean, I find this whole thing interesting, whether it be, to Ray's point a moment ago about, so people who are wading into this, who would never do it otherwise, there is a Facebook page now by the top historians of the country, including Ken Burns, David McCullough, who spearheaded it, and many others who are saying that this is
John Meacham.
Yes.
Yeah.
The great presidential historians of our time who are now saying, stop.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you're right. And just stop and getting involved in this. Who never, and many.
Stop what?
The Trump movement. And also many who identify themselves as Republicans. So I find that interesting that we see this many, many, many times throughout this election cycle. We're going to take a break. We have a lot of letters to get to. We'll dedicate the last section to the letters, and we'll be back right after this.
Support comes from Dorset Theater Festival, presenting Dear Elizabeth by Sarah Rule through July 23rd. DorsetTheaterFestival.org for tickets. Berkshire Highbridge Dental Implants, Doctors Klederman and Williams, offering prosthetic and restorative options for complex dental problems, with the Highbridge Full Mouth Restoration, BerkshireHighbridge.com. The Carey Institute for Global Good hosting the 7th Annual Catskill High Peaks Music Festival with Yehuda Hanani, August 8th through 18th in Rensselaerville, New York, careyinstitute.org. And from Stommel Stringed Instruments, downtown Amherst and Poughkeepsie, providing sales, service, and rentals of violins, violas, cellos, and bows. Restorations and appraisals open Tuesday through Saturday, stommelstring.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. As mentioned, we have many letters, so we'll get to those letters now. And we begin where, Alan?
All right. From Thad, who says, "You are mistaken, Alan. Not all of us. I am pro-gay rights, as I am pro-choice, and I am for Donald Trump."
Tom
says, "Mike Pence is just Donald Trump's Sarah Palin moment."
Wait a minute.
And Nancy says, "One of Trump's featured speakers will be a character from Duck Dynasty. Another will be a world wrestling champ. Respect, really?"
Don't forget Chachi.
Oh, Chachi, yeah.
Scotty Baio?
Scott Baio.
Yeah.
Speaker at the convention.
Wow. Okay.
How surreal.
All right. And I got criticized by Michael, who said, "New York Times Today article update has Hillary up by 4 points by taking mean of 50 different polls, quoting one poll as a statistical aberration." That's Mike from Munson.
But to Alan's point, it's still a very close
And
race.
We don't know Bupkis. We don't know anything yet, to be honest with you. As so many people have pointed out, Dukakis was leading by 17 points right now. The real question is, who's coming out to vote? I've said it before. I'm saying it again. Okay, Mark says, "Please stop. You are beating a dead horse. There are more important things to talk about. You are doing what he wants you to do. Keep him in the headlines." Thank you, Mark. Okay. And Michael says, "The discriminatory use of the word hippie is bigotry." I think this is on you.
Rosemary called herself one.
Yeah, I don't think that was derogatory in any sense, was it? I think you're a proud hippie, weren't you?
I think she's still a hippie.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
I love their clothes, too.
She smells like patchouli. I know that.
Bring back granny glasses.
It's no different than the bigoted use, and then they use the word N, which I will not use on the air. Disenfranchising in the 1968 protesters in Chicago is the same as dismissing the commitment of the young Sanders supporters of today. It will be a curse that will infect our politics for years to come. And then we've heard from Jamie, who says, considering how Christie was so out front for Donald and he was passed over for the VP, is this the end of his political career? It says carrier, but he really means career. And the answer is not if he gets appointed Attorney General of the United States. And apparently he's owed something, and he's one of the very few, you know, who were there.
It's really interesting. I hope eventually we'll get a biography of him, his thinking as he ran for the presidency, then gets involved in the bridge controversy, then runs anyway, loses badly, and then switches into the Trump lackey. It's been just fascinating to watch.
Jen says, what do you think of the author of The Art of the Deal coming out and saying Trump is a sociopath and he fares for the civilization if he wins?
Is the thing about Serena Williams correct? It's on the internet, but I haven't vetted it.
Apparently. Most everything on the internet's correct.
I know. Believe it if you believe what you read.
What was that?
That Trump tweeted, you know, I have many black friends. I love black Americans. My favorite black American woman just won Wimbledon. And then Serena Williams tweets back and says, no, don't think that way. Stop. I am not your black American friend. I want it to be true.
Well, yeah, yes, I would want that to be true.
Brian says, dear Roundtable, I love how the two of them would not say the word torture. We're talking about the 60 Minutes. They said enhanced interrogation techniques saves lives. Pence also said we should tell our enemies what we are doing to get information.
That was one of the places where Leslie Stahl fell down, because both of them said this gets information that saved the country. And actually all the evidence from the CIA itself is that no, it gets information that's unreliable and not usable. Torture does not work. She didn't call them on that.
Well, she did say, am I going to get an answer? No? Okay,
yeah.
I'll move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And the other place she fell was when Trump said, I'm one of the few who got it right about Iraq. I was always against it.
And
again,
when?
The record is
yeah.
that no,
where?
He did not. He was very supportive
yes.
of it at first.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Jamie says, I am sorry, Alan, but many people do not think the police are here to protect them, but see the police function as to protect the property of rich people. That is why the laws for stealing from them are so much more severe than when they steal from each other.
I actually think that capital murder for killing police is justified. Because they are our first line of defense. And that's why it's so horrible when bad cops don't do it right, that we need to punish them and get rid of them. But to go after, to shoot, even if they are there just to protect the property of the rich people, they still do not deserve to be shot down the way they have been in Dallas and in Baton Rouge.
Good morning, friends. Question for you. Now that Hillary doesn't have to worry about a primary anymore longer, do you believe her poll numbers will go up? My guess is that she was losing points with Bernie in the race, points that were putting her at loss to Trump.
Her problems go beyond Bernie Sanders.
I would think so. And Richard says, if everyone carries guns at the convention, or other in the event of shooting, everyone pulls their gun, who is the real shooter? Will innocent gun carriers be mistaken as the terrorist? I don't know if that was an attempt at humor or what, but I didn't get it, and I didn't like it, to be honest with you. Yeah. Good morning, Roundtable. Staying away from crowds out of fear of terror is similar to staying away from airplane travel for fear of crashing. Yes, planes crash, but the risk of dying in a plane crash is infinitesimal. By the same token, one risk of being hurt in a terrorist incident is also extremely small. I just gave you what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're wrong. I
understand the impulse. It's like not going in the ocean because you're afraid of sharks.
Yeah.
I don't do that either.
You don't go
in
the ocean either?
No, so...
I'm thinking of staying away from lakes, too, in certain parts of the country.
Okay.
Why?
The alligator.
Logo. For someone... This is about the Trump logo. For someone who prides himself on how well he brands himself, how did Trump or his people pick that logo?
Yeah.
Epic fail.
Which, by the way, we should mention has been quickly scrapped and is nowhere to be seen on any of the materials except was what was originally sent out.
I have on my Facebook feed a bunch of designers, of course, the newspaper designers. They had such a good time with that logo.
Okay, and Judy says, unfortunately, one result of having everyone armed per NRA is that we have no longer have a civil society, feel safer when we all have guns. I don't, and that's from Judy. And cops, Roundtable. Alan just said, we all know the police are there to protect us. However, police are now shackling and holding people who witnessed their illegal killings. We have are becoming a police state. Rosemary's right about the wrongness of police killing the Dallas shooter. Police are not supposed to take on the role of the courts. And the Minneapolis police chief said, protecting the public, that is our job. So let's stop calling them law enforcers and call them rights protectors. Maybe they will be expected to do their real job. If a bomb can be delivered by a robot, I bet debilitating gas could be instead. That's from Don.
Horrible.
Anne said, someone asked what the police must be thinking who have to work these conventions. They told us, asking for the open carry law in Ohio to be suspended this week. They have no way of knowing who's a good guy with a gun and who intends harm. If the law and order folks really wanted to keep cops safe, they'd repeal those dangerous open carry laws and pass reasonable gun control measures. And by the way, Anne, who wrote this letter, that is endorsed by most chiefs of police in this country every time gun control comes up. Your idea. Police don't like it. They don't want everybody walking around that way. Okay. Okay, and Matt Mann says, it's about time to dust off the shelter at home. Is this how anarchy martial law begins? Yes, as a matter of fact.
Stock up on canned goods.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Duck and cover and all that.
Colin says, you guys sound so subdued today.
Yeah.
Don't forget. Every time we get into our cars, we count on a ribbon of yellow paint to prevent a head-on collision with a car heading in the opposite direction, and it works almost all the time. Being afraid of going somewhere because of the terrorists makes the terrorists win. I said that. I said it. I understood it.
But what you're saying is you're letting them win.
No, I didn't say that either.
Oh.
I just simply said, I'm not going.
I think as a nation, I think as a people, we have every right to be subdued when day after day after day after day after day there is a tragedy.
Not really a happy day thus far.
What we would label as a tragedy, and when people are law enforcement officers are killed, and with just in a matter of days, and we have shootings, and we have coup attempts, and we have terrorist attacks, I think there's every right to be subdued and not put on a happy face.
I wanted to say that as a writer, I really like the metaphor in that last letter. That yes, our civilization depends on that thin white line and an agreement,
yellow.
A compact. Yellow, sorry. The whites on the other side, and a compact that we will abide by the rules, and it's so easy to slip, and that's my feeling, that we're slipping right now.
Oh yeah, and you can go back in history, and you can see that from the earlier letter, is this where it all breaks down? And the answer is yes. Could this could lead to what we are seeing? We haven't mentioned Turkey today, but civilization there is going right, no question about it. They're firing the judges, and they're bringing up the Erdogan.
Going right?
You think
that's a good thing? Oh, going right. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Not right
as,
right as in correct or good.
Good morning, Roundtable.
Good morning.
So we can attribute law and order to some coded language. What do super predators mean, Rosemary?
Oh, that's a Hillary thing.
Okay, she is referring to charges that she defended a rapist. It's been all over the internet. It's a false and distorted version of the truth. I'm not getting into it in the last 2 minutes. But write to me. I'll explain it all to you.
And Bobby English says, as bad as Chicago in 1968 was, there was not the additional aspect of weaponry. The so-called hippies did not have guns.
All right. We are out of time. I want to thank everybody who wrote to us. We have many other letters. You can continue to write to us, roundtable at WAMC.org. Obviously, we'll be back tomorrow to talk more about this and other issues, as well as the first day of the convention. Also, a reminder, if you'd like to join us on Wednesday for our live roundtable, we'd love to have you in the audience. You can go to WAMC.org and just go to the drop-down menu, and you can pledge.
We'll make it rowdy.
It'll be fun. We'll have a good time. We'll even be in a good mood.
It's always great. Always great because Rosemary's there. And
Alan.
All right, here we go.